I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep in the last 48 hours. So get ready. I've had a lot of time with the Lord. I was listening and preaching for about, probably taking in, well, let's see, when I rode with Brother Jared, it was 10 hours. When I came back by myself, it was 7 hours and 45 minutes. That's me walking with the Lord, and this is me struggling with the Lord. So 17 hours, 24 hours. I've had a lot of time. I was listening to preaching yesterday, started about 11:45 at night. Got up there and got out, listened to about 6 messages. I mean, I was having a time, and I got you. I'll put that mic on in a second. I was having a time with it in the van. Boy, got out to get a coffee. My 8th one. That was my 8th one, that's what I said. After the pot, I already drank before my wife sent me on the roof. I don't like lids. You know why I don't like lids? Because people touch lids. That's right. I don't like lids. So I'm going to take this coffee with no lid. I get it, put it in the van. Me and the Lord, man, it's good. I mean, I got a message preaching, man. It's going on. I'm good. I'm fired up. I'm shouting in the van. Well, I won't tell you how fast. I could reach over to get that coffee because I just felt like the Lord lead me to get a drink of that coffee. I had to get a new phone because my other one don't work. It didn't work. Stopped working. So I got a new phone. Don't know how to use it. I got it. But I knew enough to plug it in and it would run the thing. So it's one cup holder, phone in there, speaker up like this, man, this going, preaching. I pick up that hot piping coffee, pitch black outside. I don't know where I'm at. Get ready. Just got out of a cup holder. And I hit a pothole of potholes. This is going right to the preacher this morning. So that, no lid. No, don't believe in lids. I do now. That whole coffee went this way on my phone. So now the preacher's like, I know how to fix it. Sledgehammer. And what the preacher? What you did? Why wait until you got to camp? The kids know how to fix everything. My little munch can fix it for me. We can hold it apart, clean it, and not worse. But I say that because I'm just telling you, about the time you get right there with the Lord, kind of, I think the devil knows it. Yeah. He knows how to take you off a high. He knows how to turn things for you real quick if you're not careful, right?
That's right.
Why? Because you live in a spiritual battle.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's been a spiritual battle. Isaiah chapter 14 in your Bibles, please. Isaiah chapter 50 also in your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 50. I would just like maybe to warn you this morning again, just a little bit about it this morning, if I could, please. For you to just maybe make sure you have your spiritual eyes open, your eyes open today. All the way back to Isaiah 14, Lucifer started a fight. Now, it's not a fight he's going to win, thank God. But he started a battle. And he started one with the Lord. Can I tell you the battles between the devil and the Lord? What happens? Well, you're a casualty of it. You have to face it too. It comes your way also. Isaiah chapter 14, stand if you would, please. Pick up if you would, please, in verse number 10. And all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. And the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Can I just tell you, this is not at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Lucifer fell way before that. Amen, amen. How long before that? Well, before that. All right? This battle started before Adam and Eve. This is where it began, all right? And old Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which thou
this weak in the nations. What'd he do? Well, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Where are you heading? Book of Psalms gives you east, gives you west, gives you south. You know who he says for north? God. You know where you're heading someday? North. You know why the great counterfeit for God for little children is Santa Claus? And he lives in the... You say, old preacher, I'm telling you, the devil is the greatest counterfeiter there is. Why? He was there. He was second in command up there. Sitting right there. You know what got in there? Pride got in there. And then you know what it started? It started a battle. It started a war. Why, look what he says. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what he believes. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 50. We'll say, preacher, well, Lucifer fell and all those things. Well, Lucifer is not the one who brought sin into this world. Adam brought sin into this world. When Adam sinned, by one man's sin, death came. That's Adam. That's Adam. Not Eve, Adam. Eve was deceived. She was in the deception. Adam chose it. Lucifer is not where sin entered into this world. Sin came through man, through Adam. But the battle began when Lucifer fell. And then look at Isaiah chapter 50, just so you know that the battle continues and will continue. This here is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary, verse number 5. He says, O Lord God, hath opened mine ear, Isaiah 50, verse 5, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And here you're saying, Gloria, aren't you glad you have the whole Bible? Aren't you glad you know what he's writing about here? Aren't you glad you understand it now? Aren't you glad he came and died for you and took the shame and took the spitting and took all of that for you, shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that you can live in the age of grace and saved by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ? So he's writing back about it all the way here in Isaiah 50, but here's the battle. Look at verse 7. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now, here's the Lord here. Here's God the Father here. Here's the Lord here. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Well, there was one contending with the Lord Jesus Christ all the way up the cross. Look what he says. Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Here's the great, young people, here's the greatest smack talk in the Bible. Now, you don't address the devil. Don't you ever address the devil. You hide behind the blood of Jesus Christ. You resist the devil. Don't even give attention to him. But you know what the Lord said? Come on, big fella. As he's carrying the cross, as he's been beaten, as he's bleeding, and as he's walking up towards Calvary, and he's carrying the cross that's going to save your soul. So you think the battle was about you. It's never about you. You just get in because God loved his son. And because he loved his son, he loves you and come get you. Save you. For Christ's sake. But he's going up that cross. Up that hill. And the devil doesn't care. So who will contend with me? Well, the one in Isaiah 14 said, hey man, look. Look at you and look at me. You're all beaten and bowed, and my goodness, man, you're bloody. Man, woo, yeah, I contended with you, and it looks like I won. The Lord looked over and said, bring it on, big boy. Set his face like a flint. He took on that battle right there. Aren't you glad you're on the winning side? Aren't you glad you got the Bible in your hand to give you the rest of the story? But here's the continuation of the story. That spiritual battle is still happening today. And you know who he's after now? He's after the minds of the lost and after you to get you to quit on God. And it's always a spiritual battle. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today, I pray. We need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. If I can get you to maybe just grasp the little things today, a few things today, and just a reminder for you today. And maybe just a reminder to the kids also, the young people. You come off a week like they came off of. You come off those kind of things. Just the day I had yesterday myself and thinking about it and got home and I went to bed and those kind of things. And I woke up. I woke up about 4 o'clock, I guess. Did you kids get out of bed at 4 o'clock? I should have called you all at 4 o'clock. Brother Jared, I won't even ask you. I got up about 4 o'clock. You think, well, preacher, you just jump right out of bed ready to go, right? Did you hear me, amen, Brother John, when I said it groaned to get out of bed? Got out of bed. You know what immediately happens? I felt that spiritual attack. Things begin to flood my mind. 4 o'clock in the morning, next thing I know, I'm like, oh, wait a second, I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. How in the world am I going to do this? Now, man, I know you think the same thing I think, but I do have the greatest wife on earth. And I had, at 4:20, I had a pretty good, like, I need you, honey, moment. Because I had to go do something, and I needed her to go with me. So I'm like, and she looked at me and says, what you need? I said, I need your help. I said, I got to go do this. And I got to run here and I need you to follow me. What time is it? It's 7:15. All men are liars. Let God be true. I'm like, it's 4:20 in the morning. 4:20. You know? Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll help you. She had to drive, meet me somewhere. I'm thinking, man, Lord, all this kind of stuff. I told her in the car on the way home, I said, you know, I appreciate this, but the judgment seat of Christ is the only way this is going to pay you back. Don't pay me back. Let me sleep. I got back, and it's amazing what the devil, the enemy, can put on your plate. So you think it's always God putting stuff on your plate. Sometimes things come there that the enemy's, why? There's always a spiritual battle going on. Always a spiritual battle going on. Always a spiritual battle going on. Why? It's so important you to understand that. He wrote a whole chapter in the Bible for you to arm yourself. Now, I'm going to preach on that today. I'm going to preach on a little portion before that. Go back to Ephesians 6, if you would, please. And look at verse number 10, and I'll start reading. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm not even going to preach that part, but I am going to pause there for a second. You ever thought about that word, wiles? What's the wiles of the devil? Well, he's the great deceiver. He's the great counterfeiter. He's the great trickster. He's the one who could come along and snatch away what the Lord's done for you in a moment there where you no longer keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord. Next thing you know, it just kind of drifts towards the world a little bit. And the devil sees that weakness. He come right in there, man. And the wiles of the devil come in there and try to take that spiritual moment, that spiritual high when you're in fellowship and walking with the Lord, man, so close to God, you just can't wait for Him to come get you. And then he sees a weakness and he pounces all over you. Get your mind to go in different ways, different directions, and think the world's better than God. The world's never better than God. The world is never the answer, ladies and gentlemen. You can turn to the world all you want. You'll never find what you can find in Jesus Christ. Amen. So you have an adversary. And your adversary is not your wife, not your husband, not your kids, not your neighbor, not people. It's the enemy. It's the devil himself and his minions around us. But if you're going to be able to go and do what the Bible says here, and he says again, to stand against the wiles of the devil... For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Although we wrestle a lot with flesh and blood, don't we? I told the kids yesterday, I told you this morning in Sunday school there, I mean, they just had a great week up there. When I pulled in with that van, I mean, I saw them all standing there. They're wore out, man. They're tired. But you know, Monday through Friday right there, they jumped up and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't a big deal to them, man. Sunrise came, those kind of things. Men are jumping off, waiting for the next day, the next moment there. Man, they had church service in the morning. They had church service in the evening. Man, they stayed up till 12:30 on Friday night, man. They were going. But you know what happened? The week was over. Now we're going home. And you know who showed up when the van showed up? And don't call the preacher the devil, but the devil came too. Why? He don't want those kids leaving that camp on that spiritual high they were on. He don't want you taking what you got up there and the decisions you made and what you told the Lord there and those tear stains that you got down there. That's amazing if you had a whole 150 kids on their knees crying, asking God to help them. When's the last time you got on your knees and cried? Parent. You know, some of those kids were actually down there praying for their parents. Doesn't that seem a little awkward to you? That the parent's the one being prayed for instead of the parent praying for the kid? Parent, when's the last time you got down on an altar and had tears over your own kids? But we show up out there, and the next thing you know, we came home with a whole lot more baggies than what we went up there, right? Next year before camp, we're having a tutorial on how to repack, and I'm just kidding. Get up there, and we have the same vehicles, roach-free this time, coming home that we went up there with. Had plenty of space for the luggage and the kids when we went up. As we start to pack the van to come home, you know what we don't have anymore? Plenty of space. And you know, not only that, you know they sat just as tight together on the way up as they were on the way home, but it got a little more irritating on the way home. Get off of me, man. You stink. You smelled the same on the way up, fellas. You ladies still smell like roses. But my wife tells me roses stink. But you know what that was? It's a little test. It's a little test to see if it really got, because the entrance of thy word's got to get in you, right? Don't let it just get in you and go out you. It needs to. Now listen, parent. Listen here, adult. Every day. Every day is a spiritual battle. The flesh warreth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You better get in that book. You better pray every day. You better seek the Lord every day. Why? Because otherwise you're going to wrestle with flesh and blood. You're going to take it out on your husband. You're going to take it out on your wife. You're going to take it out on your kids. You're going to take it out on somebody. You're going to take it out on somebody at the red light. And the whole problem is you have a spiritual battle going on. That's not what we're going to preach about today. But I will read the verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Here's our text verse today. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. So you have the whole armor. He tells you, take the whole armor. And he lists for you the armor. I'm not going to go through the armor for you today. Why? Because I think there's a phrase in here that's important. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Can I just maybe get a amen to we are in the evil day? There's evil all around you. All around you. And it's not the people. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. All around you. But then he says a little something right here that I would like to use as my text. Four words. And have done what? Can I ask you this morning? Have you done all? What do you mean, preacher? Well, you have a part in it also. Well, he says he gives me the whole armor of God, and I'm to put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, and he says to stand, but before you can stand, you got to do your part. Well, preacher, the battle, you just got to telling me it's between God and the devil and Lucifer there, and it started all the way back when Lucifer wanted to be God, and he took on God, and he started that battle, and he started that war. Hey, that's right. Even up Calvary, the war was continuing. Yeah, that's right. You mean tell me it's still continuing today, even in the day and time we're in? Yeah, it sure is. Well, if it's between God and the devil, then it just seems like God would just automatically give me everything I need to do to stand. And God does give you everything you need to stand. But you have a part in it also. You have to do your all. Have you done your all? I think there's a song that goes, "Have you done your all for Jesus?" Is there not a song? Have you ever just stopped to consider, what do you mean my all? In what areas of my life have I done my all? Well, parent, have you done everything you know to raise your children up in the admonition of the Lord? Some of you still have kids under your roof. Are you doing all you can to do what the Bible says to do? Having done all, and that way when your kid raises up and he gets to be a jerk age like this, I'm just kidding, son. When they get to be 18, 19, 20, and they're ready to leave the house, and now it's no longer hands-on, but it's prayers off. Sorry to mess up your hair. All you kids loved that, didn't you? And having done all, listen, some of you have raised your kids. Some of you, your kids are out of the house. Some of you, your kids are still in the house. In order for you to be able to stand and be able to trust God, you had to done all you could do. See, you only get a few years. Some of you got some wee little ones. You only, that 18, 20 years goes by. Well, preacher, I know what the Bible says and I know those kind of things and stuff like that. You're going to get to a point when they leave your house there and they're no longer under your roof and now outside that, and maybe they go prodigal, maybe they go to the pig's pen. And can I just remind you, not everybody makes it back from the pig's pen. Plenty of prodigals have died in the pig's pen. Don't think you're coming out of that thing. You know the best thing to do? Stay away from the pig's pen. You know what you're doing, parent? You're training them, you're teaching them, you're giving them the book, you're giving them everything you can while they're in your house. You are doing your all. So when they're out of your house, you know what you do now? You stand. You stand. While you're not standing on your parenting abilities, you're standing on the promises. But you know what you had to do? You had to do your all. Have you done your all? Have you done your all when it comes to the Bible and raising your kids and praying for your kids, taking your kids to church? He gave me a great point before the message. Not him, him. I said, "Brandon, how do you keep these kids where they were in that whole week?" He said, "Step one, keep them in church." You know what you better do, parent? You better raise your kid in church. But you know what, parent? You know what you better do? You better make sure you have church in your house. Your house shouldn't be different than the church house. What you believe here, you should believe there. What you do here, you should do there. How you act here is how you act there. What your kids hear you say here, they should hear you say there. Having done all. Have you done your all? Have you get up every day and pray for your kids? Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But that's kind of a convicting thing, isn't it? Well, preacher, when I pray and I'm eating my Cheerios, I say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for the food and bless my family today." No, that's not what I said. I said, "Have you done your all? Have you really given your time to the Lord to get down there and ask God to watch over your kids and protect your kids and keep them from the wiles of the devil? The fiery darts that are coming their way, the things that are going to come their way someday. Can they see in you the faith to stand?" And having done all. "Well, preacher, my kids are now grown. And they've gone a little wayward." Well, aren't you glad you can still stand in the book? Aren't you glad you can still trust the Lord? But have you done your all? How about with your own walk, ladies and gentlemen? Have you done your all? Have you done your all to walk pleasing to God? Do you care as much about church as you do your bank account? Do you care much about coming to church and getting some spiritual food as you do going to work and getting some physical money so you can buy physical things? Well, I do my all at work. Well, what about your all at church? What about your all serving the Lord? What about your all as a witness? If you're going to gird up and you're going to put on the whole armor of God and having done all, then you get to just go like this and just stand right on it. And you know what happens when you're standing on the book, standing in the Word, standing with the whole armor of God? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Yes, battle, spiritual battle, principalities, I shall not be moved. I'm not giving up on my kid. I shall not be moved. Whether they fought, I shall not be moved. But you have to do your all. Back to Ephesians 6. I promise you, I'm almost done, believe it or not. I said, preacher, that's just it's silly. I think it's everything we need. Because I got the whole armor part. I could quote finally my brethren. I could quote the strength in the Lord. I know what the Bible says about I don't wrestle against flesh and blood and against principalities and powers and all that kind of stuff. And I know it says there and then put on and take the whole armor of God and I got all that. But then those little four words right there. And having done all. Are you willing to do all today for the Lord? You willing to say, all right, Lord, yeah, you know. Maybe I kind of shortchanged you a little bit here, Lord. I'm your kid, and I just kind of thought, just because I'm your kid, I just get everything. You know what you tell your kids in school? Give it your all. You know what you tell your kids on the athletic field? Give it your all. Big boy here thinks he's the arm wrestling champ. Say, I'm getting ready to. Let me tell the story. I'll tell it better. So he gets up there to camp. He thinks he's done all he can do. I mean, I can't even lift the bar up off the thing. He's like, hey, Dad, can I get a spot? I was like, son, we don't want a spot, you know. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of cancerous and stuff like that. I just need you to make sure, like, come out here and just hold this. I'm like, son, you're going to die. If you lift more than you're supposed to lift, you're going to die because there's no way I'm holding it up. He throws up whatever he throws up. So he thinks he's ready. He thinks he's done all. Gets up there, picks out the biggest guy. I don't know if he's the biggest guy. Probably a girl. I don't know. He's ready. He thinks he's done his all. Come on, get it down, big boy. Put it down there. Put it down there. I don't think your hand's supposed to be numb, but my hand is numb. And that other boy gets a hold of that other hand there, and he thinks he's done all. Ugh! And he's got him going. He's got him going. He's got him going, so you think you've done all. But the other team's pretty strong. And the next thing you know, that arm started going back this way. This way. And down he goes. Maybe you think you've done it all. Maybe you think you can arm wrestle the devil. And maybe you think it's flesh and blood. And you're going this way thinking, oh, I got it. I'm standing. I'm ready. I'm ready for anything. Until anything comes. And then you might realize you haven't done all you should have done with the Lord to prepare. I took the armor. Yeah, but did you do it all with your Bible reading? Did you do all with your prayer time? Did you do all with your attendance of church and doing things for the Lord? Why? Because you're not stronger than He is. You know what happens when you've done all? Now you're in fellowship with the one who no one's stronger than. You know who gives you the ability to push that thing down that way and get you victories? And be able to stand and gird yourself from head to toe? Aren't you glad you're on that side? Maybe you think you can throw up 300 pounds. And you think you're ready today. And you put that old elbow down on the table and said, "Let's go, big boy." You meet your match if you haven't done all. Because after you've done all, you know what happens? Appreciate it, Lord. Appreciate you'll fight that for me. Because I can't defeat him, but you already defeated him. And I know what I need to do. I just need to step over here and just stand. And stand in that Bible and stand in that truth and stand in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and just stand in you, Lord. And no matter what comes my way and what comes this way, and there's going to be a lot that comes my way. He gave you the book of Job this morning. That should have just sent chills up your head. Why? If the devil really got what he wanted, you'd all be dead. I told you before, as soon as God told the devil he could go attack Job and hurt Job, you never hear the devil speak again to God. That's all he's looking for, is to destroy you. And the only hope and help you have is in having done all. Stand. And some of you are going through some real spiritual battles today. You think it's flesh. You think it's you. You think it's everything else. And it's just the Lord said, "All right, I'm going to give you a test. You thought you were ready for it. How many tests did I take in school that I thought I was ready for?" And they put that little letter on there that has two lines that go the other way. You've had one of those? Yeah, I've had one of those too. I failed. And maybe today you're failing. You're struggling. You're just struggling with whatever the Lord's letting you go through and whatever the devil might bring your way there. And you're taking it out on everybody else around you and everything else around you there. And the Lord already told you that you're wrestling with the wrong thing. Went back last week there. Jacob's problem was it wasn't everybody else. It was him. You get to Ephesians chapter 6, one of the greatest chapters there in the Bible for us, for the spiritual battle that you're in and the war that you're in and those things. And he says, take the whole armor of God. And your part. Your part. Aren't you glad God gives you all the armor you need? But your part. And having done all. Having done all. All right. Yes, Lord. I mean, I know I'm not perfect, and I know there's probably more I can do, Lord, but I'll tell you what, Lord. You know my heart. And I love that book. I love your word. I want to obey you. I want to fall down, Lord, on that book. I want to stand in that book. I believe every word of that book. And Lord, I want my life to show that I believe every word of that book. And I want to do in my life, Lord, what you tell me to do. And not just do it to a little bit. I want to do it to the fullest extent. You have it all. Have you done all? How about your kids? How's your prayer life for your kids? How's your prayer life for the church? How's your prayer life for each other? Sister Wanda blessed my soul this morning. Blessed my heart this morning. She said, "Preacher, prayed all day for you yesterday." Listen. 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Preacher needed some prayers. Why? I don't know. I get sleepy sometimes. There's things that happen. My mind can get away from me. I got a lot on my mind. You got a lot on your mind? I got a lot going on. You got a lot going on? I mean, I got some real serious things. People going through stuff, man. People relying on stuff. Sometimes I'm like, "Lord, you know the easy way out of this thing. Just take me home, man. I don't know if I can handle this anymore. I don't know, Lord. I mean, are you kidding me? I don't have answers. I'm literally pounding on my steering wheel I don't have answers. My phone is ringing at 5 a.m. I don't have answers. I just know I can stand, Lord. But before I could stand, and having done all, thank God you got all the answers. Thank God you can settle me down. Thank God it ain't relying on me. And it's not relying on you. It's relying on Him. Are you relying on Him today? Are you relying on Him for what you need today? Because you don't have it either. Here's my question and I'm done. But are you doing your part? Are you doing all you can do and all you know to do? And preacher, the Bible tells you all you should be doing. Praying, trusting, living by faith, how to raise your kids, what to do for your kids that are out of the home, relationships between your husband and a wife. And having done all, then you can, all right, Lord, I've done my part. And I'm done. Here's my last statement. Aren't you glad you know He'll do?